Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Concepts. How about this phrase, my friends? Support our troops. Now, support our troops. There's one of those phrases that you just, what could you say? Support our troops. You know, there's no way that's been used so many times to make you stop from doing certain things. There are phrases that we use in life that we don't question. I have another one that I'm in question about. And I know this is going to sound very strange to you. But I have questions about the word courage. Courage. Such an interesting thing. Everybody talks about it. Yesterday I did a program about leading a courageous life, which means setting goals and trying to follow your goals. But when thinking about it further, I think about all the people who are told to be courageous, but who are given all the reason in the world to not be courageous. In fact, who have had their very strength stripped away from them. Courage. Where did you learn about courage? Did you have courageous parents? Was your father strong enough to protect you against your mother? Was your mother strong enough to protect you against your father? Was there courage being demonstrated in your family? Was courage when, you know, people swallowed their feelings and shut their mouth? Is that courage? Or is courage when you get out there and you hit somebody? Courage. Such a funny word. And then they say the opposite of courage is cowardice. Oh, it must be bad to be cowardice. Does that mean if you're afraid to get physically hit or hurt, you're a coward? Do you know how many men I meet who confess to being afraid of being physically hit? And they're so afraid of it, they'll do anything to avoid it. They live in terror of a physical confrontation. I grew up with physical confrontations because that's the way it was in the neighborhood. It's almost, we were numb. If you're numb, who cares about physical confrontation? It doesn't make me any more courageous than the next person. Make it even more courageous if I didn't have a physical confrontation. If I had to hold myself back, you know? But that's if courage is a good thing, and I'm not so sure it is. Now, I know many of you right now are screaming, oh, no, you must be courageous. I'm not so sure. I'm not so positive. I want to examine this with you today. I want to take a look at it. What is physical courage? So what is courage? Courage is the ability, being willing, to suffer, if necessary, for some greater goal. So when I was a kid, I remember we were Boy Scouts. And we were trying to be a Boy Scout, and we were in a camp. And part of the task was you held the broom out in front of you. And then they put towels on the, not towels, but blankets on the broom. So now you're holding this broom in front of you, and you've got a heavy blanket on it. And you're beginning to tremble. And now we were like 7 years old. And these kids are standing there, are trying to hold up these blankets with some kind of a scout master. Telling us, have courage, hold it up, hold it up. This was courage, because it was physical pain. Now, maybe he was developing muscle or strength or integrity or something, but this became the word, that this was a courageous act. We have badges of courage. All right, let's think about the military. Courage. What is courage? Courage is when you are willing to risk your body, your physical well-being, for a greater good, like to save the other guys, right? If you're willing to take a chance, they consider that courage. And they give you silver stars and bronze stars and all kinds of stars according to how much courage you have. So is courage being willing to face pain? Well, if that's what courage is, I kind of agree with that. I think being willing to face pain is a really good thing. I just don't know why I call it courage. I think you have to be willing to deal with pain if pain is a part of life. If things hurt, well, then you hurt and you don't have to avoid it. But is it, you're supposed to get a medal for it? That's a real question. Physical courage, confronting fear, pain, risk, danger, uncertainty. Moral courage, there's another word for you. You act rightly in the face of a popular opposition. Morally, you know, when you have this moral courage, it means you stand up for what you think is right. But how courageous are you? How many of you just paid your taxes? Right? Yeah, real moral courage. What are you doing putting money into that Internal Revenue Service? Because you don't want to take the risk of what happens otherwise. I understand. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. In your life, in your personal life, you have been confronted with this concept of courage over and over again. And I think part of what you respect most in life is your own courage. Your courage when you discipline yourself. Your courage when you try to do things, like you go to the gym, like you work out in the gym, or you do your things that are necessary. What you consider to be going beyond your comfort zone. And you call that courage. Okay, let's say that's a good thing. But why do we turn around to the children who we have tortured and undermined and make them wrong for not having courage? Do you understand if a child doesn't have courage, if a child is frightened, it's our fault? It's not their fault. If a child doesn't have a quiet, if a child doesn't have a voice, we've done something to have that child lose its voice. It's not that there's something wrong with the child. Well, maybe there is something wrong. Maybe there's something wrong chemically. So I'd like to know about you and courage and what you think of it. Because as I said, I think we're at a point in life where we have to challenge even the concept. Bravery, funny word. Courage, funny word. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. Let me teach you about something else called counterphobia. Such an interesting thing. That's fear of a counter. No, it's not fear of a counter. Counterphobia is when you have something you're afraid of and you are driven towards it. So let's say you have a fear of falling, so you're driven to do bungee jumping. Let's say you have a fear of bugs and you're driven to get close to bugs. Let's say you have a fear of relationships. So you indulge yourself in relationships. There are certain type of people who are phobic people. These are people who are very frightened, usually. And then there's a type called the counterphobic types. Among them, you'll see things like Sylvester Stallone, who is, you know, in his character, his very character, he challenges everything that he's afraid of. If he's afraid of it, he jumps into it. The whole idea of jumping in beyond your fear is called counterphobia. And it's a symptom. It's something that we see in psychiatry when somebody's counterphobic. We think that they have the potential to break down because they're hiding from themselves their great fears. Is there anything that you're really afraid of that you jump into? Did you ever do it? I mean, I've had it in my life. I remember once, what was it? It was seaweed? No. Was it eels? No. It was some food in a Japanese restaurant that I just couldn't imagine possibly eating. And I had to order it because it was so unusual. Did you ever do that? Order something very strange because it was like, who would ever eat that? So kind of a counterphobic thing, you know, when you get afraid of things. How about counterphobic in love and romance? You're afraid of a real love relationship. So what you do is you jump in to an intense relationship with somebody where no real love is possible, but intimacy, it's like you're tremendously involved. A counterphobic reaction. Now, many people would say to you, you just have to be brave, and you have to work through marriages, and you just have to be brave, and you have to be brave, and you have to be courageous. Well, let's say that you were a deer, and you were in the jungle, and you're a deer, and every time you hear a sound, you jump and you run away, because it may be a lion, right? And you say to yourself, well, you could wind up being a very old deer that way. If you run away every time you get afraid, it's fine. What if somebody said to you as a deer, don't be such a sissy. You hear a sound, you have got to follow that sound. You have got to confront the sound. You could be a very young deer that way, you know what I mean? You could have a very short life. So I'm not so sure that listening to our fear or avoiding our fear is the answer. And I'm not so sure that courage is the answer. So I'd like to hear from you. 212-209-2900 is our telephone number here. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're soon going to be going into the mode of fundraising here at WBAI again. So I'm trying to use as many programs as I can to get you on air to talk with us, because I do love doing it with you. 212-209-2900 is our number. Let's take one of your calls. Okay, 212-209-2900. It's a good time for you to be dialing in right now, because those of you who have been trying to get through have had difficulty. If you're always afraid to do anything, if you don't have the inner impulse that makes you move and do something to defend what you think is right, then they say you don't have courage. And because of that, they say you are living without courage. Courage is that feeling that you can win, the sense of responsibility you have when you're facing life's many challenges. Courage, according to most religions, is what they call maturity and wisdom. But I'm not so sure. It's okay if you're scared. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Tony Maiulo in New Jersey. How are you? Oh, poop. Did I lose you?
No, you didn't, Tony.
Oh, I'm so glad. I wanted to call because if we're talking about fear, this boy is the one to talk about fear, too. I have had anxiety that stops me completely just from even working, or if it's just from being, my anxiety kept me from being interested in life. Just, I was so afraid to feel that way.
And how did you get through it, Tony? Because I know you did.
Thank you, Armand. I listen to you a lot. I listen to WBAI a lot. I heard the testimony of people in their lives who had difficulties, sometimes worse than mine. And that was encouraging to me, just to see people get through their lives in the way they did. And I have a little secret. In a way, how I handle me, I have to handle me. I speak to myself. I let myself know how I'm feeling. I'll say words to myself and how I'm feeling. And I found that these are little steps to help me.
What kind of words do you say to yourself, Tony?
Well, let's say I'm always driving, so I know I'm going to go out driving tomorrow.
Even when you're sleeping, Tony?
Just before I go to bed, I remind myself that I'm home, I'm in my bed. I'm not driving. I'm home, I'm in my bed. When I'm driving, I tell myself I should be careful, I shouldn't be aggressive. When my heart's troubled, or that's such a vague term, but when I feel troubled, I tell myself, like one time you said to me, say it, I'm scared, and I tell myself, I feel scared. I'm scared. I keep telling that to myself.
So it turns out, Tony, what you've done is you've developed a nurturing relationship with the child inside you. You've kept the child available, and you've developed a nurturing parent to take care of it.
Yes.
Now, that is really interesting, because that's exactly what every kid needs.
I'm a kid deep down. I'm a kid. But I love myself. I love myself so much. I know I'm a little kid. I'm like a little kid in love with new love with myself. It's silly sometimes, but this is how I treat myself, and it's special. It's special for me because that's how I want to treat me.
Well, thank you for calling in, Tony. Nice to speak with you.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure. 212-209-2900 is our number. We're talking about this concept of courage, and I'm questioning it. I want to question it with you. I want to see what is it like for you. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, a beautiful good afternoon, Armand. How are you doing today?
Good. Who is this?
My name is Iqbal.
Iqbal.
Calling from New Jersey.
Yes.
I just want to say that, you know, the best way is that the secret is in the show. And the name of the show is just being positive.
So you think that part of the way that you get through is to maintain a positive aspect about everything. Okay,
yes,
Iqbal, so let's say you see something really painful. Let's say you see somebody on the streets who has got no money, who is really living at the edge of death, right?
Yes.
And there you are, and you pass this human by. What do you do? How do you take your positive mind over that? You say, well, you're going to be better off in the next lifetime. What do you do?
No, I am being grateful, being thankful you know, don't care how bad things are, people have it 100 times worse than you. So you appreciate what you have more. You give more thanks for what you have, the little bit you do have.
So that's one way to do it. What about for that person that you're passing? What do you do for them?
What do you do for them?
Now, I know you've been in this situation many times.
Yes.
And
yes.
I know you're a generous man.
Yes, I am.
And I know you're a kind man. So you don't just maintain a positive attitude. You maintain a positive attitude, but you also do some positive actions, which may mean that you may actually go get the person some food or get them some soup or do something. That's your kind of guy.
Yes.
It's more than just a positive attitude. It's a positive attitude backed up with some action.
Right, definitely. Because you can have positive attitude all you want, but if you don't have the action to go with it, then it could bring you down.
Well, now you've said something really important. See, now you've said it's not just about positive intention. It's about positive intention followed with some action.
Yes.
That's very fine. That makes you one of the fine teachers on this planet. We need you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
Have a blessed day. Keep up the fine work. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I look forward to hearing you every day.
Okay, I'll be here. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Armand, hi. This is Israel.
Hello, Israel.
I spoke with you some time ago, a long time ago. I hear you very often. And it just so... The best word is touching. To hear the things you say, but more importantly, the way that you say it. And you bring out people laying out their problems in such a way that something can be done.
So what you get from me, Israel, is you get something about my kindness towards people.
Oh,
something
yes.
About the way I accept people.
Exactly. Now, I've been going round and round as you hit it right on the bullseye. It's the way you accept people which helps me to see, to accept myself.
Yeah, and where don't you accept yourself? What part of you don't you like?
Well, it's not me. It's the way I've been brainwashed. We all somewhat brainwashed. I don't know.
Brainwashed into believing something about yourself that's not true?
Yes.
Israel, what do you
or
think?
Or what the standards are, you know, how I should be.
Yeah, how you should be. You know, there's a part of you that likes to be alone, right?
My God, yes.
Very alone.
Yes.
And there's a part of you that if you had your real choices, you'd rather be alone than be with people.
No way.
Talk about it.
I want to be with people, too.
Too, but you need to be alone also.
I need to be alone sometimes.
And sometimes people don't understand that about you.
Right.
They don't understand that Israel, in order to keep his engine going,
right.
He's got to go in a room and he's got to pull the plug.
Yeah, but I wonder if that is because I feel I haven't handled the world.
What do you mean, handle the world?
I haven't been able to handle the world, so I'm retreating.
Yes, okay, so let's say it's true, Israel. Good point. So let's say you're the kind of an animal, you're the kind of a being, you're the kind of an engine that doesn't work on outside power. You don't plug it in on the outside. You don't fill it up with gas. But you have your own generator.
Yes.
And that because of the way life has taken you through, you've had to develop your own maintenance generator, which means that when you go home and when you put yourself alone, you regenerate yourself. And it's your way of doing it. And then when you come out into the world, you come out with a different kind of power. It's a more natural kind of power because you generate it. It's not being fed by the outside.
So now you helped me accept my wanting to be alone sometimes.
Yes.
Thank you very much for that.
It's not only you're wanting to be alone, it's essential.
It's essential. Oh, wow.
For you, it's essential. It's part of your beauty. You're like a flower, you know what I mean? If you take a flower and you open it up too soon and you put it outside, it just opens,
right.
It flowers and it disappears. You're like one of these beautiful nighttime flowers. Give it some time. Give it some space.
Yes, good.
It opens up.
You're amazing,
Armin.
Two words and you get the essence of a person. I've never seen anyone like you.
Israel, I will call you a moonflower. You got to go look it up on the internet and see what a moonflower is. They're the most beautiful flowers.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in.
Armin, can I say one more thing?
Sure.
You asked me about what don't I accept about myself. I remember this incident when I was like about 10. My grandfather, who was a very successful businessman, an exemplary businessman, would always say to me, you have to be able to fool people, and you don't seem capable of fooling people. You're no good because of that.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. Thank you very much. Then that gives you the clue to your grandpa. You see, your grandpa was saying the very same thing. He was saying about you, Israel. He says, you're not a phony. You're too real. And you need to be a phony to get through in my world, in grandpa's world. You need
sure.
to be a phony.
Right.
Thank God. Look at what you did. How smart of you, Israel. You said, no thanks, grandpa. I think I'll be real. And your name is Israel. That's your name.
Yes. Thank you, Armin. Thank you
sure.
for being there.
Israel, of course. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. How are you? This is
Good.
Ralph.
Ralph! Ralph, oh.
The very Ralph.
Hey, the very Ralph.
Yes.
The mighty Ralph.
The mighty Ralph. A couple of things that you spoke of today, and I think both of them.
How are you, Ralph? By the way,
I'm doing well. I mean, I am definitely doing well.
I'm much better
than previously assessed, I would say.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and actually, I'll be seeing you in the not too distant future.
Great.
I think the aspect of courage and the aspect of counterphobia both would apply to me, and I've noticed changes in the courage in that, there was infidelity in my marriage on my wife's part, and I initially thought in facing that I was trying to have courage in facing what she did, but I came to realize that I was really having courage in facing my own feelings and reactions and judgments about what she did. And in that was counterphobia, because there was many times when I either I didn't really know why I was doing what I was doing, or I felt like I was forcing myself to face those fears. But I came to realize that there was a reason that I was facing them, and there was a reason that I was that I felt compelled to want to conquer my own feelings and judgments about it and maintain a relationship with my wife. So I kind of feel like both of those things really hit a note with me.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, what I love about you, Ralph, is you're always learning. You're always growing.
Yeah.
You know, you always challenge yourself. So if I would call it courage, or is it the lack of courage? Courage may be where you'd say, I am who I am, and I'm not going to change. That's one kind of courage. Then there's another kind of courage that says, I am what I was, but I may not be what I'm going to be tomorrow, and I think I'll look and try to see how I could change. That's right. Another kind of courage.
Yep.
So I'm not sure which way we go, but I love the fact that you're a developing man. You're a man who's willing to learn
I feel constant. It's a constant development.
And yeah.
I actually hope that it's something that just continues throughout my entire life. I don't ever want it to become a static thing.
That's one of the reasons, you know, people keep asking me, why don't you write your final book, Armand? And I said, I'm terrified about writing the book because the minute I write the book, I'm going to say I believe that.
Right.
You see,
right.
But it's already yesterday.
It's in concrete at that point.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Armand.
Sure. You got to watch out for that concrete. Albert Einstein was once found. He was laying a new cement walk outside his home, and he was just putting down the concrete, and he was just getting, and the kids come along and they want to play in the wet cement, and he yells at them, get out of here, you rotten kids, get away from my wet cement. And his wife comes out and says, Albert, how could you be yelling at children? You love children. He says, I love them in the abstract, but not in the concrete. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break. Now, listen, here's something for your judgmental self. When we come back, I'm going to play music for you. Music that would be associated with, religion and things like that. But what I want you to do is open your ears. I want you to open your ears and try to say to yourself as if you were listening to a voice for the first time, regardless of what the content is. And see if that extension of yourself helps you step over to some new level of being, which I hope it would be. So mystical enough as I'm telling it to you, so I'm going to be playing something for you that will automatically trigger, oh, I know what that is, but forget about knowing what it is. Go with what you hear instead. Now, this is Armand DeMille with you. We're here on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. In answer to some of your questions, all of the music that we play during this program, which is usually at the midpoint and at the end of the program, is available to you. You could hear it by going to the website, thepositivemind.com, and going to the radio program and to the archives. We list all of the music there. So there is actually, you could get it for yourself. We list the name, the author, and everything. Instead of you keep calling us and saying, what was that piece of music? You could always find it. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, my special music, and we will continue with your phone calls. I'll be right back.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح
Allahu Akbar. You know, it means God is great. And those are the simple words. You know, imagine a three-word song. But when you consider where that could come from inside of you with a voice that sings it with such a kind of a feeling. I love some of these unusual feelings of the music I collect. You know, like this one I heard the other day. This is just... By the way, you can call in if you want it, 212-209-2900. I'll take your call in a minute. But it's just... A little Russian music.
Актрису любил ту, что любил цветы. Он тогда продал свой дом, продал картины и кровь.
We should be getting up dancing at this point. You gotta grab the kerchiefs, you know, grab those handkerchiefs and hold them out to each other and getting up. Doing something the equivalent of a Greek Russian dance. Looks beautiful. I wonder if it also means God is great. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. I love to play with you people and we'd love to have some fun, but we really care about your heart. This concept of courage. Courage is overrated. I don't care what anybody says. Too many people are shouting at other people, you should be courageous. I think the people who shout that you should be courageous are the ones who are usually behind the enemy lines. You know, like the generals tell the privates, you should be courageous, go out there and get shot. Right? So I'm a little question. I have a question about this whole concept. If you have fear, it's okay to be afraid. And it's okay to be guided by your fear because sometimes your fear is wise. If you're phobic and you're afraid of everything, sometimes you don't want to be guided by your fear. But the way out of it doesn't ever seem to be courage. The way out of it, whenever you're really frightened, seems to be holding the arm of a friend. You're afraid to go out of your house. A friend comes along, your brother comes along, your sister comes along, you take their arm and you go out. That seems to work a lot more than being told. You get out there or a cattle prod that'll get you moving. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille, fighting for people's rights. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Armand, am I on?
Yes, you are.
How are you? My name is Charles, and I'm from New Jersey.
Hello, Charles.
Yeah, I hear you talking, and courage thing, I really get that. Let me just tell you a little bit. I'm a teacher/coach, you know, for children. And, you know, one of my biggest challenges was my son being diagnosed with cerebral palsy maybe like 13 years ago. He's about 13 years old now. He can't walk and he can't talk. You know, I actually have to feed him in order for him to eat and everything. It's just a situation that's just really has been trying on my part because, you know, I want to teach him certain things and it just seems like an uphill battle.
Or an uphill challenge. Now, this is a very interesting challenge because here you are by definition a coach and a teacher. And here the world says, you know, we're going to have a broken spirit. Who are we going to put the broken spirit in the hands of? And we'll say we're going to put it in the hands of Charles. This broken spirit's going to wind up with Charles because Charles, as great as he is of being a teacher, he's going to learn a new way to teach from a different place because it's only he that could take care of this broken spirit. So what have you learned about your teaching with your son?
Well, that it's, you know, I want to be more for him, and it's tough for me because, like, a lot of his needs, you know, I want to make him happy, but what makes most kids happy isn't the same, you know, in his case.
Is happiness the criterion? Is happiness what he shoots for? Is that what he wants the most in the world, happiness?
See, that's the thing.
That's right.
You know, he's really oblivious to a lot of things. I think it's me. I wish that he could have certain things that I could provide, or that he could, you know, that he could walk and he could do certain things like other children. And, you know, it's a very, it's a place that I actually become depressed. And, you know, he was in the hospital when he was about 7 or 8 years old, and he had his hamstrings cut, and he was like, handy, he had a cast from his waist down. And, you know, and this is a strong kid. Like, he, you know, he's smiling even through all of this. And I, like, it's tougher. I think it's tougher for me being a parent and watching this, you know. And, you know, a lot of people, they really don't understand. A lot of people, they, you know, they kind of give me tips, but until you're walking into that light, you really don't see it. And, you know, to be honest with you, like, I try to put on the, you know, the strong face, but I think this kid is a lot stronger than I could ever be.
Sure. Sure. But let me ask you something about little you. Little Charles. Who takes care of small Charles? Who takes care of the little you?
I'd like to believe I take care of myself, you know, in that respect.
Is there anybody around who's loving you?
I have a wife. I have a wife, and I have two other children other than my son, you know.
But is anybody taking care of you? Does anybody reach out their hand? Does anybody put your head in their arms and stroke you, Charles? Does anybody say, oh, Charles, I wish life could be easier for you. I love you so much. Does anybody say that?
I think a lot rides on, you know, a lot rides on me. I'm the provider and I'm the protector.
Okay, so now let me ask you to stop for a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay, Charles, I want you to imagine that I'm that person. And I'm saying to you, Charles, you've been doing a big job. You've done a lot of stuff, but I wish you could just take it easy enough to know that you're doing as best you can. And I got all the respect in the world for you. And it's a hard job you're doing. It's hard.
Wow. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
you know?
What happens when you hear it, right? It breaks your heart, doesn't it?
It really does.
Sure it does.
You know, it's a place that I don't really like to visit because, you know, I actually feel weak
in
places like...
like the rest of us. You get these spots inside you that are like Jell-O.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's,
you know,
a tough place for me.
If a whole bunch of us got together and we put our arms around each other, we'd be a huge mass of Jell-O. We'd just lean on each other, and it would be beautiful.
I hear that.
What flavor would you be?
I don't know. I'd be like a blueberry or something.
A blueberry Jell-O. All right. That's my guy. Nice to hear it, Charles.
Man.
Charles,
hey, I appreciate
blueberry
that,
Jell-O.
Armand.
Nice to talk to you.
Yeah,
man. Yeah. 212-209-2900. Blueberry Jell-O. Where is that? Like, I'm in the studio here with Stephanie Roth. Stephanie, we got to invent blueberry Jell-O, right? It could be made, right? Gelatin, blueberries, business. Coming up. Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. 212-209-2900. Hi there. And we're taking your calls. 212-209. Hello.
Hi, Armand.
Yes.
Hi, this is your friend Marlene. How are you?
Oh, hello there. What's your name again?
Marlene.
Marlene. Hello,
yes.
Marlene.
From time to time, I just give you a call.
Yes, it's been a long time.
Yeah. I really would like to congratulate you on your show. You're doing such a great job. And listening to your show really helped me articulate or really find the language to articulate my issues. And I would like to respond to one of the callers who previously stated that, you know, sometimes you need, when you see a need, you just jump and do what is needed. And I believe this is such a good quality for people to have. But I'd like to also ask, what happened when other people use that good quality? You know, they use it as a weakness and they just think, oh, she's stupid, you know, take advantage of you.
Well, you know, we have to start with the fact, Marlene, that you are a caretaker automatically.
I am, yes.
And not only just a caretaker, you're a compulsive caretaker.
I guess, yes.
So it is not them doing it to you. It's like you are this person who starves to take care of people. You walk in a room, if you see a need, you're going to fill it. You know what I mean? So you're great. You're great at you. You're a great kind of person to hire as an administrator, because if you leave it up to Marlene, she'll find out what's wrong and she'll fix it automatically. Now, having that personality is going to attract people. They're not just exploiting you. They understand it's your need. They're feeding you. Mm-hmm. They're feeding you your need to take care of things. So one of the things that eventually happens is, of course, what happens to all caretakers is you get pissed off. You give and you don't get back. And when you don't get back, you get mad. Do you recognize that when you get angry?
Yes, that happens sometimes. But you know what? It's something good is happening also. I learned from my mistakes. And I pray every day that, you know, I do not become hard and ignoring people, but at least I accept myself. I look inward and I said, what is it that's in me that I always feel that I have to rescue the world? And, you know, I can relate to that caller, you know, that Charles. I can say to Charles that I take care of everybody's need, but when it comes to me, I only trust that God will always send an angel.
Well, who took care of little Marlene?
Just Marlene. If Marlene don't take care of herself.
Well, what happened to her when she was a little? Was she on a kibbutz? Was she on a kibbutz?
What that mean?
Where was Marlene when she was little?
Taking care of younger brothers and sisters.
Younger brothers and sisters. Who took care of Marlene?
I guess Marlene.
Yeah. Meaning nobody.
Nobody, yes, exactly.
So now you have to get this for a minute, you see. You have to understand that Marlene was put in charge of a family. And there was nobody to take care of this little kid. There's nobody. And she's even still here now, and there's nobody taking care of her. There's nobody taking care of her because she's so busy taking care of everybody else. And it's time, Marlene, you know, it's time. It's time for you to at least turn your attention just to yourself, even for just 2 days. And spend 2 days giving to nobody but you. You see what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
You'll learn a whole new world.
I know. You must feel really good.
Well, you'll try it out, I'm sure.
I have.
Thank you. And thank you for tuning in.
Thank you, amen, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. We will.
Okay, bye-bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We're taking your calls. We've been taking your calls all week. We've had about 30 calls this week and a lot of emails and responses from around the world. People love hearing from you as well. We've been challenging the concept of courage and what courage really is. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Marissa.
Hello, Marissa.
I have problem with my job and my landlord too, and I have real fear of putting together the paperwork and getting lawyers, and I feel I'm not doing it. I'm afraid to deal with these situations.
Because you're mad at them?
I think I was thinking about that yesterday. I think I'm mad.
You're angry.
I kind of have a right to be mad, I think, and maybe that's what's going on.
Marissa, you're actually going to get involved in a lawsuit?
Yeah.
Why?
To keep my apartment, to keep my job.
Oh, what a pain that is.
Yeah.
That's a terrible thing. So, in other words, you've gotten yourself into a fix with a couple of authorities, right?
Yeah.
And you have two different kind of authorities?
Mm-hmm.
You have one is going to be your office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have your office and you're mad at them. And you've had experience with other authorities as well, right? In the past, you've had trouble with teachers as well?
Not so much, no.
Bosses?
Not so much in terms of me doing anything wrong, but I do get picked on.
You get picked on is what I'm saying. When I'm saying you get in trouble. So there's a part of you that seems to be you're on the receiving end of some bad news a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that Marissa has is, why am I putting myself on the bad end of trouble? How do I get there? Now, of course, we could say you're the victim. We could say because you're just so good-looking that people just want to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could say because you're so innocent that people just want to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Or we say the following. Marissa is developing her strength. And the way Marissa develops her strength is she sets herself up to go into battle. And she creates battles so she could fight back, so she could develop her strength. And eventually she'll develop so much strength that she won't have to fight anymore. And that may be what you're doing. You may just be overcoming a lifelong battle, trying to develop the strength where you could finally feel strong enough that you don't have to do any battles anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You must be tired of fighting, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm scared to, you know, prepare for the battle and get the lawyer and whatnot.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's nothing I can say about this whole thing about one good advice that comes from one of my dear friends who's an attorney that says, let it be the last thing you ever do, go into a courtroom. You know, fight over something. Try to find some other way to do it. Try to find some other way, but, you know, maybe yours is the only way. Certainly I know people at BAI who fight through the courts and have won major things. So I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Sure, Marissa. Thank you for calling in. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. So sometimes we choose battles that are like windmills, you know? Like Don Quixote with the windmill, you know, we want to fight the windmill because we want to test our strength. Sometimes we create battles so that we could develop our muscle. And the battle that looks like it's coming at it, that looks like it's oppressive, that looks like it's hurting us, is really something we create so that we could develop our muscles, so that we could learn to fight better eventually. And then when we learn to fight enough, we could lay down our arms. Because once you believe you're really strong, friends, you don't have to fight anymore. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand.
Hello
this
there.
This is Walter. How you doing?
Hello, Walter. Glad you got through.
Yes, I am. I usually never get through.
Well, you did today, see?
Yes, it must be my day. And your day, too, because you're good. And like the gentleman, a couple of gentlemen before, you said that you really can lead people on their first few words. I'm one of those persons that seek to get recognition because I've never gotten it from my parents, and they didn't have the time or the inclination. It kind of hurts, but I'm still trying to push on with life. And sometimes I get a little bump, and I just want to sit there for a while and just say, why put the effort in? You know,
sure.
But right now...
Well, let me ask you why you put the effort in, Walter. Let's say that this is the battle, and I understand your battle. You're saying to me there's a part of you that needs to be acknowledged professionally.
Yes.
And acknowledged as a person who's doing something, and you want to get some kind of a certificate, something that makes you feel proud of yourself.
Well, right now I'm working on my theatrical degree, so...
Yeah, that's what I thought. Good.
Yeah. I got my associates already, though.
Yeah, which is, of course, a tremendous thing that you've done. But one would imagine that this would be an achievement, and you would feel succeeded then. But you see, the trouble is, the acknowledgement you're looking for doesn't come from the schools. It doesn't come from the license. It doesn't come from the paper. It comes from way back when. And you know something? That way back when acknowledgement, you're never going to get it.
Mm.
Not from them. And I'm going to give you another one. You don't need them, because what they would have given you was cheap. What your parents would have given you, Walter, they would have given you some kind of recognition for being a good boy. I give you a different recognition. I think you're a good man. I think you're a man who's on this planet doing the best he can, helping people out, trying to achieve things. You know, and I'm sure you help people everywhere you go.
Every time I get a chance.
Every chance you get. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I am proud of you.
Thank you.
I mean, really proud of you.
Thank you very much.
Nothing you could accomplish in this world that's greater than what you do every day.
Thank you, Alan. It means a lot from you.
Yeah.
Coming from you. And I'm going to make an appointment because I want to sit down with you about an hour and try to smooth out these railroad tracks that I have. so that maybe the journey is not going to be so long.
It'll be my honor.
So difficult. Thank you.
It'll be my honor.
Thank you. God bless you. Have a good day.
Thank you. This is Armand DeMille with a positive mind. We're going to have to be going. We're going to be going soon, and I will be back with you, let me see, tomorrow? No, I'll be back with you Tuesday at 1 p.m. And I want to thank you all of my friends, all of the people who have been listening. It's my honor. If you want to get a copy of today's program, you can go to WBAI.org and download the program or thepositivemind.com. Here's some soft music for you, Michael, just on the way out the door.
It's 1:55 in New York City. You're tuned to 99.5 FM, WBAI, and WBAI.org. Coming up at 2 p.m. will be Perspective. At 3 o'clock, Talkback with Hugh Hamilton. Behind the News with Doug Henwood, looking at economics and politics behind the news. And at 6 p.m., the WBAI Evening News. Thank you so much, Armand, for playing that call to prayer at the halfway point of the program, the midpoint of the program. The call to prayer is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I remember when I lived in Brooklyn, I would wake up in the mornings to that call to prayer. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Thank you so very much. And thank you for tuning in and keeping your dial right where it is at 99.5 FM.